You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Gym Class for a Thursday. We are jam-packed today. We got a good one for you. Thank you for joining us as we come your way on 1600 AM, 102.3 in Cedar Rapids and 106.3 FM in Iowa City. Also, KGYMRadio.com, as well as your mobile app and your smart speaker. Thank you, Buttons. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes with you. Buttons across the way behind the glass as we get you into the 3 o'clock hour, your local programming block getting underway here on KGYM. Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn will follow us, and they will go from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. And then tonight, everybody gets a little bit of Major League Baseball. There is no Thursday night football coming up tonight. We do have for you baseball coming up this evening. And on 1600, 102.3, 106.3 FM, 107.5 FM, it'll be Game 5, which could be the final game of the American League Championship Series, as it'll be the Rays and the Astros. The Astros staved off. Thank you. Yeah. Elimination last night. And, oh, by the way, the Dodgers just scored again. Whoa, there they go again. You know, we're getting ready for bowling last night. We're watching the television, and all of a sudden somebody goes, hey, Dodgers got 6 in the first. Then like 3 minutes later, they got 11. Wait a minute. The first inning? Yeah, it's the first inning still. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. New record set by the LA Dodgers last night with the 11-run first inning. 11-run, right? First inning last night?
Yes, sir.
Kept pouring it on, and the Dodgers and the National League Series, or is it the National League Series tonight? Am I getting messed up here? I'm going to check that out. We have baseball tonight. We have baseball tonight right here on KGYM. I believe it is the Dodgers and the Braves tonight. Let me look that up.
Yeah, it was 15-0 before you even blinked an eye, and I think it's an outlier. Not that the Dodgers can't come all the way back from being down 2-0. As far as Tampa Bay and Houston, I kind of suspected that out of Houston. Whether they can string together three more remains to be seen. 38 teams have held a 3-0 series lead. 37 have won. Dang it, I meant to look up the team.
Red Sox, Yankees from a few years ago.
That's right. That's right.
I know that trivia answer. Red Sox, Yankees from a few years ago. That was the one that was the comeback to end all comebacks. It is Dodgers Braves tonight. Make that notation, please, Buttons. Dodgers Braves tonight. That is game number 4 of that series. 5 o'clock, it'll be Houston. 4 o'clock, I beg your pardon. It'll be Houston and Tampa going at it with the Rays trying to make another World Series. So there you go. Baseball coming your way tonight, right here on KGYM. And then tomorrow it will be high school playoff football, as we will have a pair of games for you both at 6:45, 107.5 FM. We will be down at Tiffin. It'll be Clear Creek and Mana hosting Marion. 106.3 FM will be at Frank Bates Field on the east side of Iowa City, as City High will host Ottumwa tomorrow night. All the scores after the game from all the playoff games around the state of Iowa. Don't expect a lot of upsets tomorrow night. I'll just going to throw that out there.
Unlikely, that's for sure. But despite some blips, we've gotten to the postseason in high school football.
Now, one game has already been postponed for tomorrow night. Burlington and North Scott will not play in a 3A game tomorrow night. Burlington has forfeited. They're not playing. North Scott is moving on. So that game is not going to be played tomorrow
night. As I said, blips. There have been, but we have reached the postseason in high school football. Wouldn't say that the season is unscathed by any means, but at least these kids got to play most, or if not all, of the season. And Of course, we know that didn't happen in Iowa City and Ames and Des Moines. So, in fact, Des Moines public schools have opted out or are not going to play in the postseason. So it's a strange year. It's a different year. We went through, what, three different sets of schedules?
Yep.
From the time COVID-19 was an issue. And now here we are. We'll see how it works.
319-366-1600. That is a text line available to you. Again, that is 319-366-1600. As we come your way on this Thursday edition of the program here on KGYM.
Driving in, I'm listening to the Max Kellerman show, and they're talking about the Chiefs maybe picking up Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah. Does he play offensive line?
Well, I know that's an issue in Kansas City, but imagine the weapons, of which there are plenty right now.
You got to hope he's not going to be a bad influence as far as the locker room is concerned. Yeah. That's the only thing that I'm kind of worried about at this time. But, yeah, there is a lot of talk that the Chiefs may be the top suitor for Le'Veon Bell.
It's the subject of our poll question today at KGYMradio.com, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement in Iowa City. Thanks to Steve Anderson and his crew. Doing great work since 2003. Where will Le'Veon Bell sign? It would be the Dolphins, the Chiefs, the Bills, or somewhere else? KGYMradio.com. Go ahead and vote.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Could be the Chiefs. Certainly, I think the Chiefs have a little bit of a spot for him. I think he'd be a good fit, but you have to give Patrick Mahomes some time to throw the football. And right now, at least the last time out, they did not give Patrick a lot of time to throw the football. So.
I think there's still tread on Bell's tires. He's only 28,
yeah,
and he sat out 1 year. So it's going to be interesting to see if he can fit somewhere. Our text line, we were talking about high school football reaching the postseason 27-11. I'll pose this to Scott, and I know the answer. What
or
do you think?
As well.
Well, yeah, what do you think is going to happen during basketball season in high school this year? I don't know.
It's going to start. We know that. We're going to have basketball, and I think a lot of it is going to be go the same route as football did. There are going to be some games that are going to be postponed, pushed back, moved around. You're going to have some teams that might go through a two-week period where they cannot play.
Crowds?
Well, we'll see. This is indoors. Keep that in mind. I don't think you're going to – if we can get through the regular season and somehow make it to March and maybe something changes, I have no idea. That's going to be a year, folks. It's going to be a year. Because February and March, back half of February into early March is going to be where we need the crowds in a big way as mm-hmm. far as the tournaments are concerned. And when you get down to Wells Fargo, man alive, it is going to be if on Friday of the boys' state basketball week, and we are still fighting this the same way we are now coming up, in 5 months, 4 months, whatever the case may be. Well, that's going to be a strange, strange feeling because I still remember that day very vividly at Wells Fargo Arena with very few people in there and watching four championship basketball games.
Well, we know what happened with college basketball and college wrestling, the ends of those seasons in March. And some folks criticized the state association for even holding tournament, sans fans. I don't believe I heard of any issues that came out of that, playing that tournament.
No, there weren't any. Now that was very early in it. By the way, another Thursday, so yet another milestone week, of fighting COVID and coronavirus and what have you. So 319-366-1600. Also, happy anniversary. It was 32 years ago today. You had the famous number one versus number two game in South Bend, Indiana, between the game noted and dubbed Catholics versus Convicts took place 32 years ago today. also took place last Saturday night, Notre Dame and Florida State. Not quite as many things on there as far as that particular game in 1988. That was the, of course, it turned into a 30 for 30 as well. If you haven't seen it, check it out. 319-366-1600. We are going to talk with, coming up, Adam Rittenberg of ESPN, college football writer. We're going to talk some college football, look ahead to the Big Ten getting started next week. We're also going to talk to Kevin Lehman, the coach, for the first time this year. It's Missouri Valley Conference Basketball Media Days today. Yes, think about that one for a while. Let it soak in. But Joel from Muscatine going to take us to our break here. Talking about basketball, you have a proposal, Joel? This is basketball, you know. This is not football.
Well, I'm well-versed in both, being, you know, a broadcaster of all things high school athletics now. So, also, that coaches versus Catholics versus convicts, wasn't that a C.J. Frederick's uncle who coined that phrase? So there's some Iowa ties to that as well. So my question is I know the NBA, love it or leave it, has had a very successful thing with the bubble. If we're still struggling with virus things, you know, with high school athletics, could we do a bubble for the state tournament for the Iowa High School and Iowa Girls Athletic Union, where you just 10 days, do a 10-day break, 14-day break, everybody gets tested, they go to hotels. Since every school is set up for distance learning, the kids can still keep their academic schedule while they're awaiting so they can get a state tournament in. I don't know what the dollars and cents would be like for that, but I would feel disingenuous to go 2 years without crowning a basketball champion in the state of Iowa. So if they had to go somewhere down that road, do you think the athletic union and the association could pull it off, or will they get in their own way like they usually do?
I think they'll do anything they can to hold a basketball tournament. So if that's the way it's got to be, then maybe. I don't think that's their first choice, but
hopefully no neighboring states have players try to move in and play so they can screw that up again.
Thank you.
That's a whole different story, isn't it? Yeah.
Appreciate it.
I'd love to come on and talk about that someday.
Thanks, Joel. I have no idea where my brain was, 4702. I know that it was Miami versus Notre Dame. Why did I say Florida State? Because I had Florida State on the mind because of last Saturday night's game.
No conflicts under Bobby Bowden.
I'm sorry. It was Miami versus Notre Dame, 4702. Thank you. That's E-me.
E-me.
All right, we're going to take a break, come back. Adam Rittenberg joins us, and we'll talk some college football with ESPN.com's Adam Rittenberg right after this on KGYM.
Hey, how come nobody else's leaves are out?
Leaf vacuums? Delayed, buddy.
How do you guys know all this?
It's right on my phone. See?
Nothing's on my phone.
Well, you're signed up at crnewsnow.com, right? That's how the city of Cedar Rapids lets you know.
Don't they just sign me up automatically or something?
No. You actually have to sign up at crnewsnow.com, especially this fall. With all the debris collection, you'll find out about any delays or schedule changes.
No more Miss Leaf Day. I like it.
Never miss the leaf vacuum again. Sign up at crnewsnow.com.
Prior to going to DePaco, my credit was not the best. I was driving a car that was having mechanical issues. So one day I just went there and Mida sat down with me and went over my finances, and we did what's called a money makeover. We were able to get me signed up for a credit card, and I used that to build my credit so that I could be able to get my own car. I love my car, and it's something that I can brag about, honestly, because it's mine and I worked for it, and it's something that I'm proud of. DePaco Community Credit Union and the Money Makeover was able to get me moving again and in a new car, and I can't thank them enough.
Your money for good. Learn more at DePaco.com. Equal housing opportunity.
Time to refresh your space? Alexander Lumber or Answers by Alexander would be proud to help with impeccable, well-born cabinetry. The Alexander design team respects and can work with any budget. And in addition to stunning kitchens, they also create home offices, mudrooms, laundry rooms, bathrooms, even living rooms with built-ins. Design with the experts at Alexander Lumber, 4344 120th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
If Teresa Greenfield and the Democrats take over, the following will take effect. $4 trillion in job-killing taxes, government takeover of healthcare, packing the courts, dismantling police departments, surrender to the mob, surrender to China, and a march toward socialism. Teresa Greenfield and the left, they'll tear this country apart. Stop the liberal takeover. Vote Joni Ernst.
Paid for by Iowa Values Action, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. www.iowavaluesaction.com.
I'm not going to get this wrong, Mark, as we welcome you back at 319. Also 32 years ago today, it was the Dodgers versus the A's in the World Series. Today is the anniversary of the Kirk Gibson home run against Dennis Eckersley to lead off that World Series. Won by the Dodgers, I believe, right? Dodgers won that World Series. Last one they have won. And now they are down 2-1, even though they scored about a million runs last night. See, I redeem myself after putting my foot in my mouth. 319-366-1600. We're going to talk right now with Adam Rittenberg, who does such a great job for ESPN.com, senior writer for college football for ESPN, joining us here as we get to... We're about, 9 days away, 8 days away from getting the Big Ten football season started. And, of course, college football with some of the other Power Five leagues has been going on in earnest for the last month or so. And great to talk with you, Adam. How you been? You feeling good? Let's do this.
Yeah, just excited that the Big Ten season will get going. And, you know, it's just going to be a bumpy ride, most likely, like it is around the rest of college football. But at least we'll have some games here soon to talk about.
How bumpy is it right now, Adam?
Yeah, you know, it is. I mean, and again, you know, it's certainly getting more attention, Mark, because it's the SEC and it's Nick Saban who's been obviously diagnosed with COVID-19. And you have a game like LSU and Florida that's been postponed. But there's been postponements in other leagues. There's been coaches that have had it. Thankfully, everybody's recovered, and it doesn't seem like there have been any serious hospitalizations in college football. But it's something that goes in waves, and unfortunately, we seem to be in another wave of increased cases right now. And so I think that's a concern. You know, I just spoke with P.J. Fleck at Minnesota a few minutes ago, and you know, I think he's very trying to keep a very realistic attitude towards how this season is going to unfold. Not that it doesn't matter. Or that it's something that people aren't excited about. But there are some realities of how this season could play out that I think should certainly be in the calculus when you're evaluating a team or a coach or an offense or defense.
Well, we'll get to the Big Ten coming up, but let's talk about the SEC a little bit. You mentioned the fact Florida, LSU, they will not be playing at the Swamp after Dan Mullen comes out and says, you know, we should have the full crowd. At Florida Field to greet the defending national champions anyway. We've had a few blips in the radar as far as the SEC is concerned, and now with Nick Saban being tested positive yesterday, I don't think anything is going to shut down. I don't know what it's going to take to shut down the Southeastern Conference, but it's certainly not the best of looks anyway right now for the SEC.
No, it's not, and you know, it's a league that has great resources, and you know, Alabama is a team that's testing every day, you know, much like the Big Ten teams are going to do, even though that's not required around the SEC. And so, you know, the good news is apparently it has not infected the team. It's just been Coach Saban and Athletic Director Greg Byrne. And, you know, they obviously interact with some different people sometimes than the rest of the coaching staff or the players do. But, you know, Florida, I think that their situation is interesting because, you know, Scott Strickland, their AD, was on a press conference yesterday and, you know, he's not a doctor, but said it likely came from their trip to Texas A&M where they had players who, you know, had allergy-like symptoms. And as somebody who suffers from seasonal allergies, I know how those are. And and you don't think that those are a virus, but likely they were. And then that spread throughout their team, and now they have, what, 21 players who have tested positive. The number may have gone up even bigger today. So that's how dangerous this is that, you know, if every symptom isn't reported and every, you know, little event, everybody isn't taking every precaution, you could have situations that can, you know, in the Big Ten's case, take players out for 3 weeks, or even in some of these other leagues, you know, cause these postponements and rescheduling and all of that. And obviously coaches have been hit a little bit here lately with Les Miles and Nick Saban, two of the older coaches in the FBS. You know, Mike Norvell of Florida State, you know, he hadn't recovered, and Blake Anderson, Arkansas State as well. So you're seeing increases, you know, with coaches as well as players right now.
Adam, I wonder if you talk about the play on the field. Sometimes sloppy, often sloppy.
A lot of points.
Texas TC, you had about 95 flags thrown in that game. Upsets, LSU's already lost twice. Florida goes down. What do you make of the play on the field?
Yeah, you know, this is kind of what was expected. In talking to coaches this summer, you're both on and off the record, you know, they expected it to be a little bit messy. You could have all the Zoom meetings that you want, and you install your system over and over, but until your players are out there and they're you know, in the action and hitting each other and having to make split second decisions, it's you know, it's a challenge. And I think especially on defense, with some of the restrictions around how you can practice during the pandemic, there's not as much hitting, there's not as much tackling, and I think you're seeing some of those fundamental issues that are occurring you know, on a fairly regular basis. And you know, the offenses are just better. That's the other thing around the country. I mean, you look at some of the quarterback play in the SEC right now compared to where it was 7 or 8 years ago, it's night and day. Much, much better quarterbacks, much, much better offensive coaches and play callers in the SEC. And then you're bringing it back to the Big Ten. You look at two of the better players in the conference opted back in at the same position, actually, with Rashad Bateman in Minnesota and Rondell Moore at Purdue. I mean, those are guys that could increase the scoring totals in the Big Ten if they're out there performing like they have in the past. And so it'll be interesting to see, you know, which teams can hold up defensively. But if you can't score and you don't have dynamic playmakers, I think it's going to be tough this season given how it's going around the rest of the country.
Have the top three teams kind of separated themselves, at least so far, the teams that are playing, obviously with Clemson and Alabama. But Georgia, I think, has taken that number three mantle. And I think we're kind of looking around for a number four right now. And who knows? Hey, it could be North Carolina until the Big Ten gets started. We'll see anyway. And, of course, people are going to be following Notre Dame. But North Carolina's quietly just kind of done things and put up a ton of points for Mac Brown.
Yeah, I know they have. And, you know, Mac and his staff have done a really good job there. They've recruited at a high level. They've inherited some good players, and they made them better. You know, their offense is really exciting to watch with Sam Howell at quarterback, and their receivers and their running game is really strong. So, you know, they're an exciting team. But, again, you see what happens when these would-be challengers step on the field with Clemson. We saw that with Miami, clearly nowhere near Clemson's standard. Now, North Carolina nearly beat them last year. They were the one team in the ACC that went toe-to-toe with Clemson, and they get them, I believe, in Chapel Hill in a few weeks. So that'll be a good barometer just to see how far North Carolina has come in Mac Brown's second season. But there's just very little reason to doubt Clemson right now. I was so impressed, guys, with the way they played defensively against Miami. You know, it's a good Miami offense with a dynamic quarterback and De'Aaron King and a really good run game and improved offensive line, and they couldn't do anything against Clemson. And your coaches were telling me that Clemson might be a little bit down this year on defense, and their best players were those freshmen and what have you, but they look dominant against the Hurricanes, and it's going to be a real challenge for Howell and that North Carolina offense in a few weeks. Should be an exciting game. And the ACC has definitely had some nice showcase opportunities here with Miami and Clemson, and then you get North Carolina and Clemson, and then ultimately Notre Dame and Clemson, the big one on November 7th coming up.
A week from now, we'll see how messy the Big Ten is as that conference gets underway. And I want to talk about the West and how you perceive it and how that's all going to shake out.
Yeah, you know, I just spoke to PJ Fleck from Minnesota and asked him about the West, and he said, you know, it's always close, and it's going to be even closer this year, you know, probably because of COVID and the uncertainty about who's going to be available week to week. But I think that division is really interesting, and you can make a case for just about every team to be in contention. I think in large part because Wisconsin, you know, the buzz around the league is that Wisconsin is not going to be, you know, as strong as they've been in the past. Doesn't mean they can't win the division. We've seen that. But you lose your quarterback Jack Cohn possibly for the season with a foot injury. You know, Graham Mertz is talented, really talented, but inexperienced. And then they lose Jonathan Taylor. They lose their leading receiver, Quintez Cephas, Tyler Biadasz, the Remington Award winner at center, and some other offensive linemen. So I think there's an expectation it's going to be harder for Wisconsin to just run away with the West. And, you know, you look at Minnesota. They're coming off of an 11-win season with their quarterback returning, Rashad Bateman returning. They do have to replace a lot on defense, and that's probably where they'll take a step back. But they're a team that you have to factor in. You know, certainly Iowa, I'm hearing really good things about Petras at quarterback, and you know, I really like Goodson at running back, and you know, they'll always be solid on the defensive side under Phil Parker. So I think Iowa's a team that can be in that mix. You know, Purdue, there's some excitement with Rondale Moore back. You know, we'll see if Nebraska gets better. I think Northwestern will get better with a new quarterback and especially a new offensive coordinator. So I think that's a really interesting division. You know, presumably the winner goes and faces Ohio State with a potential playoff spot on the line. But I think there's a lot of possibilities in the West this year.
Yeah. If we do get to the finish line anyway, and if we do have at least a few bowl games or what have you, it's going to be interesting, of course, because right now everybody's eligible to go to a bowl game. That decree made lately, is that a good situation to try to get people to go, even if it's a two-win team or whatever the case may be? Are you behind this NCAA ruling for the year?
Yeah, it's just such a mess, you know, Scott. And we don't even know how many bowl games are going to happen and just how realistic it will be for certain teams to make trips at that time of year. And, you know, the bowl sites, you know, what's going on in their areas with the virus. And is it safe to have a bowl game depending on where it is? And so I think it's smart to basically take the restrictions off. And I honestly think it's going to be probably a situation where as long as the team has won a few games and they're healthy and they're willing to travel, you know, they're probably going to end up in a bowl game this year. Not every team, but I think most teams are going to have that opportunity, especially in the power conferences. And so, you know, I think it's going to be filling spots with who's able to do it. And it's not going to be a typical bowl week. You're going to probably fly in the day before the game and play the game and get out of there just because of the risks. And so it's just unfortunate because I know bowl games are fun and we like to talk about them and they're great rewards for the players. And it's probably not going to be the exact same experience this year, but hopefully we get there and hopefully most of these bowl games go off with opportunities for all sorts of teams.
Last for me, Adam, excuse me, a lot of excitement in Ames. Of course, a big game coming up a week from Saturday in Stillwater. Does the championship run through that game, the winner of that game?
Yeah, really excited to see, you know, who wins that game. And, you know, I kind of jumped off the ISU bandwagon after week one, and you know, I'm kind of back on now just with the way they've performed recently. And yeah, I think last week, even though Texas Tech isn't a great team, you saw how dominant Iowa State can be when everything's clicking. And I think both of these teams play defense. And Oklahoma State's defense is dramatically improved from a couple of years ago. They did some decent things at times last year, but then they brought everybody back. And at times they've really been a defensive-oriented team, which is unusual to say with them. And so I think it'll be really interesting to see. You know, Oklahoma State expects to get their quarterback back for that game. And Brock Purdy's playing at a high level. I love the way that Breece Hall is playing for Iowa State. And then you've got great running. So, I mean, really, the two backfields are going to be outstanding, as will the two defenses. So a lot of intrigue in that one. Don't want to count out Kansas State either, but I think that'll be certainly a game that shapes how we go from here in the Big 12 race.
Yeah. What do you think about the Big 12? A lot of people are kind of down on it this year, and not to downplay what Iowa State has done so far, but when you got Oklahoma and Texas struggling a little bit, like although they put on a heck of a show last Saturday, no doubt at the Cotton Bowl, but well, where does the Big 12 kind of stand this year?
it's kind of reminds me of when the Big Ten, you know, wasn't getting enough from Michigan and at times even Ohio State. You know, it's hard for the league's reputation to be what you want it to be. And it's not fair to certainly a team like Iowa State or Oklahoma State or Kansas State, but when the Big 12 isn't getting Texas and especially Oklahoma, but also Texas in that top 10, in the top 15, in the mix for the playoff, you're going to get a lot of the negativity, especially when, you know, you're two of your better teams in Iowa State and Kansas State, you know, lost games to Sun Belt teams in the first week of the season. Now, I think both of those teams are improving since then, but that's kind of a black mark against those teams and indirectly the league. And so I wish it wasn't that way. I think it's a little lazy to label a league bad just because your supposed premier teams are a little bit down. But you know, ultimately the Big 12 is going to have to, you know, the only way to salvage your reputation is either to get a team in the playoff and win or perform better in the bowl games, because we don't have any more non-conference games of note this year in the conference, none really until the bowl games. And so that's the only path forward for the Big 12 to really help its reputation. But certainly most of the projections out there do not have a Big 12 team in the playoff at this stage.
Yep. A lot of games to be played, and we'll see how it all plays out, including the Big 10 getting started next week. And Adam, appreciate it all the time. Thank you very much for the insight, and keep up the great work, and we'll talk soon.
Sounds good, guys. Appreciate it. Be safe. Thanks.
All right. Adam Rittenberg, senior writer for ESPN.com, college football, joining us here on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. And Iowa State off this week, as we mentioned. We will have a pair of games coming up on Saturday for you. Both begin at 10:30. We were scheduled to have Florida LSU, but that game was postponed. That has been replaced by Kentucky and Tennessee. That will be on 107.5 and 106.3 FM at 10:30 on Saturday. And then Clemson goes to Georgia Tech. Number one Clemson goes to Georgia Tech on Saturday, also at 10:30, 1600 AM, 102.3. We'll have that. That's football, Mark. Ready to talk some basketball?
Let's do it.
I am pumped because we have the coach, Kevin Lehman, to join us. Missouri Valley Conference Media Days for basketball today. Not exactly sure when they're going to roll out the basketballs and start the season. We'll see. Fingers crossed. But we'll let you know
about
that.
It'll be during football season.
It will be, well, probably, yeah, that's true. That's true. Fine for a lot of the schools because UNI has a dome. A couple others do as well. So we'll talk with the coach when we come back here on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class after this on KGYM.
Oh, look at this. The bar on Main Street is looking for a new bartender.
What are you doing?
Looking for a job.
Honey, just enjoy your retirement.
You know, I'd love to, but have you seen what Joni Ernst has been up to?
What do you mean?
Ernst voted to cut Medicare by almost $500 billion.
Wow.
Yeah, and Ernst supported a plan that would force us to pay $6,000 more a year out of our pockets for health care.
$6,000 more a year? For each of us?
Yep. The Wall Street Journal said the plan would, quote, essentially end Medicare.
But we've been paying into Medicare for years.
It's completely unfair. Plus, Ernst also voted to let insurance companies charge an age tax on us.
So even more money out of our pockets. You think the bar would hire me, too?
I think we might be better off voting against Joni Ernst.
Paid for by DSCC, DSCC.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. DSCC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
It's time for Straight Talk, just like football. You want the best coverage with your wireless network without your wallet taking a hit? Straight Talk Wireless gives you the same nationwide coverage as the big carriers, America's best networks, for up to 50% less. Just $45 a month for 25 gigs of high-speed data than 2G with an unlimited plan. No contract, no mystery fees. Don't get sidelined by weak protection. Get Straight Talk Wireless. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Picking up an online order? No problem. It'll just be a moment. You know, we've got more convenient ways to shop besides our same-day store pickup. You can also shop from your car with our free curbside pickup. Or you can even shop completely from home with our free next day delivery. Just order by 10 p.m. on AutoZone.com. Getting the job done just got easier. Free next day delivery on eligible orders. Restrictions at AutoZone.com.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
It's time for some straight talk. You know what covering your bases is in baseball, right? Making sure you have no holes in your defense. Well, that's the kind of coverage you get with Straight Talk Wireless. And you'll pay up to 50% less than big carriers and still use their same networks. Just $45 a month gets you the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data and 2G. No contract, no mystery fees. Fully covering your bases for 50% less. Straight Talk Wireless, only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Election Day is November 3rd. If you plan to vote by mail, plan ahead at usps.com/voting info. There, you will find helpful resources, such as guidance for successfully using the mail, links to find your state's rules and deadlines, information for military and overseas voters, and more. The U.S. Postal Service is ready to deliver for you. Make sure you're ready, too. Start today at usps.com/voting info.
Back with you on the Gym Class and KGYM. A reminder, the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn comes your way next from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock, and they will have your next chance to win some bourbon from Cedar Ridge down in Swisher. And just listen in from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. More information available at KGYMradio.com. Right now, we go from football to basketball. Great to talk some hoops as we get closer and closer to the month of November, and great to talk with our friend Kevin Lehman, the coach, joining us here from Missouri Valley Conference Media Days. That's got a great ring to it. And Kevin, how are you? How's the family? How's everything going? Great to hear from you.
Well, Scott and Mark, I've missed you two guys. Chance to talk some basketball. And this was a virtual media day today, so we did it by Zoom.
But it's still media days.
I still talk some hoops. But, most of the conversation, guys, is about scheduling and about, can we get these games in? So these coaches in the Valley, I'm sure the same thing in the Big Ten, the Big 12, they're still trying to figure out who they're going to play in their non-conference games and where they're going to play them at. It's a logistical nightmare, along with this COVID-19, to figure these things out.
The one thing we do know, it will not be you and I and Drake visiting Iowa City or Ames anytime soon, right?
That's not going to happen. It looks like that Northern Iowa is going to end up in Lincoln, Nebraska, which is a really good field. I'm hearing LSU is going to be in it, Oklahoma State with Cade Cunningham, the number one projected number one draft pick. St. Louis going to be the best team in the A-10, along with Nebraska. Steve Alford's Nevada team. So if they pull this off, that's going to be a very good field for the Panthers. And what Ben Jason talked about today, guys, on that Zoom call was they're trying to put that schedule together so they can get an at-large bid. No one's sure how many games they're going to get in, but they want to build that resume, so it's very important for them to get games in the non-conference against teams that are going to be, hate to use the term again, quad one, quad two teams.
Northern Iowa voted the preseason number one team in a Valley that's going to be pretty good this year once again, and A.J. Green and Austin Fife, first team, all Missouri Valley Conference picks. Do you disagree with anything you saw in the poll?
I agreed with the top four that I saw there, Mark. You and I, and the reason I put you and I over Loyola was because of A.J. Green, his ability to make shots at crunch time. Because you look at this Loyola team, they got everybody back, plus Cooper Kafis, their best three-point shooter, and that was their Achilles heel last year. So this is a Loyola team that's loaded also, but you've got Austin Fife back for the Panthers. Of course, A.J. Green, Trey Burhau made the third-team pick. But, guys, they're going to miss. They have to find a replacement for Spencer Haldeman because he could play the one, the two. Those guys are invaluable. And I think we're going to see it from a different perspective. I know you like this guy, Scott. Noah Carter.
Yep.
I'm hearing great things about him. He's got his weight down. And he can play multiple positions, not the one and two, but he can play three, four, and five. And I know Ben Jackson liked those interchangeable parts. So he's going to have a big year, I think, for these Panthers to fend off the Ramblers from Loyola.
Bradley's in there at three. Don't sleep on Bradley either. That's a good basketball team.
And they've got some guys. I mean, he had some dudes transfer sitting out last year. So you're going to see some new names with Bradley. Of course, Elijah Childs was the Arch Madness MVP. He's back, preseason first teamer. Deshaun Henry. They got some players, and they've gone international. So they've got kids from the Netherlands they really like. Rink Must, 6'10", who can shoot three. So you're right, Scott. This is the Bradley Braves team to watch out for. And they're talking about playing their non-conference games, not at Carver Arena in downtown Peoria, but on their campus facility, which is a really nice one. But that was a strange twist because no one knows how many fans are going to be let into these games.
Drake coming in at seventh in the 10-team league, and they're going to miss the big guy in the middle, Liam Robbins, who's at Minnesota now. But DeVries' squad, especially with his son joining the program next year, appears to be on the rise.
Well, Mark, that was huge for Drake and for the Valley to sign Tucker DeVries. And we've had pretty good luck in the Valley with coaches' sons, going back to Doug McDermott and Greg, A.J. Green, even Darius Bean, who played for his dad, some of the Illinois. Those guys were all first-team Valley players. So Tucker DeVries, right around the top 100 ranked in the nation, going to Drake. They haven't had a guy ranked that high since way back. I got to go back to Lewis Lloyd's time in the mid-'80s. But think about this, Mark and Scott. If they would have had the big guy coming back, where would you put him? Leon Robbins, who's going to go to Minnesota, projected to start for the Gophers. They're a seven-footer in the middle. Boy, that would have been a team because everyone else is back for the Drake Bulldogs. They just need some size up front. I actually picked them fifth. I had a little higher than everyone else in the poll. I had it right behind Indiana State in that fifth spot.
Okay. Kevin Lehman joining us, 3:45 on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class in KGYM. You mentioned schedules, and that was one of the things that the Valley coaches really talked about today. We know that the schedule for the conference, anyway, has already been put out there and could have a bang finish if Loyola and you and I play for a conference championship in that last game of the year. We'll have to wait and see how it all plays out. Hopefully a lot of hoops between now and then. But, you know, everyone's in the same boat at this particular time, and especially Valley schools and athletic departments and coaches, because of all the things going surrounding COVID, some school, they don't have as much money. They're looking for a little bit of money to help the coffers a little bit. And I would imagine everyone's in the same boat right now in the MVC.
Well, and here's another wrinkle they're going to throw at him, Scott. And Cole Bear and I talked about this yesterday. They're granting eligibility, as you know, for winter sports. So if you're in those programs where budget is an issue, you also can't get guarantee games, and you've got to pay the school for those scholarships. So that's a tough road for some of these schools in the Valley. And we specifically talked my days at Nebraska-Omaha. There's no way Nebraska-Omaha would have funded kids to give them an extra year of eligibility. They just didn't have the funds to do it. So that's another problem that these coaches are going to have to deal with. And look at – here's the bright side. No one's going to be redshirted this year because why would you redshirt them? They're going to get a fifth year anyway.
True. How is this going to play out?
Exactly.
Especially with finances, with scholarships, is the NCAA going to allow more kids to be given a scholarship for this year, knowing that they're going to have players coming back for another season? There are a lot of questions yet to be answered, I think.
Well, and what, the understanding that that I received from the coaches this morning, because that was same question was asked, Scott, was if you had three seniors and they all came back, you were going to be able to go from 13 to 16 scholarships to accommodate those seniors. But if you're recruiting, it's like what the Power Fives deal with, guys. Is your guy going to go, is Luca Garza going to go to the NBA or not? Do you recruit that spot? So now you have to find out, are your seniors going to come back? I think there has to be a deadline on that decision because you have to recruit those positions and know if you're going to have scholarships open to recruit with. So it's a little bit of a different situation for the mid-majors, but you're seeing what guys like Fran dealt with Luca Garza and Joe Wieskamp, not knowing if they're going to return or go to the NBA.
The NCAA Council also approved, not surprisingly, a proposal to allow one-time transfers. Don't lose any time. And that's been happening already, I guess. So probably a mere formality there, Kevin.
Most of the players, Mark, that were asked for that extra year on the one-time transfer this summer were given it. I can't think of anybody now that was denied that transfer. So it's almost already in place. And a lot of people are thinking how it's going to affect the mid-majors. When you have a player like A.J. Green, and there's some very talented freshmen and young players in the Valley. Are they going to get poached to go to high major schools? And we're going to see more free agency, so to speak, in college basketball. And I really think that's coming. The backstory is the mid-majors will get some trickle down. But, you know, if A.J. Green transfers to Wake Forest to play for Steve Forbes, the guy you're getting back is not as good as A.J. Green. We all know that. So I don't put a lot of water in that in being able to rationalize it like that. So you're going to see mid-majors, maybe the farm clubs for these major conference teams.
Yeah, that's just another blow to the mid-majors. Already not letting enough into the NCAA tournament, and now this. So
First we had the net, which kept them out. Now we're going to have a free agency where they can transfer. But I think the key, guys, is you've got to have great culture in your program. We see that at Northern Iowa. We see that with Fran. You know, they don't have many guys transfer out because the culture that's established and the camaraderie within those teams.
Yeah. How good, to go and look at the Big Ten for a moment, how good can this Iowa basketball team be?
Well, I'd say they got a couple things going for them in the year of COVID. Depth and experience. Because think of how many disruptions you're going to have, disruptions throughout this season. They already had some, you know, in August, September with players testing positive. That's going to happen across the country. So having depth and having people that are experienced, I think, is going to weigh so much in this college basketball season because you got to have guys that are mature. When you get a game canceled, you got to quarantine a couple of your players. They got to be able to play right through that, and that's tough for young kids to do. So I really like what I'm seeing from this Iowa team. I mean, they're loaded. You get Bohannon back, Nunji back, along with CJ and Connor and Wieskamp. This team has really got some talent to it now. Everyone says on the flip side, can they guard better? Because for them to be a Final Four team, they've got to be able to guard better than they have in past seasons.
Fourth-year freshman, by the way, Jack Nunji.
Yes. Well, he gets this year back, too, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. That's what I mean. Technically a fourth-year freshman.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
I wonder what the rotation's going to be like for Fran, because you've got some young guys, saw a picture that Kenyon Murray tweeted out with of his two sons who are coming into the program after a year at prep school. Man, they grew up. I don't know if they're going to fit into the mix or not, but the rotation is going to be interesting.
Well, it is. But with COVID, you may have a player or two sit out. You know, with this rapid testing that's coming up. So I think the depth is going to be huge as you go through. And we're seeing guys with football teams. You know, there's some football teams that had to cancel it, then the players. And we don't know the effects it's going to have in basketball. But I got to think you're going to see some teams that have breakout. And here, this was a discussion this morning. If Valpo goes to play Loyola at Chicago, Valpo's required this 14-day quarantine.
Hmm.
That's in the city of Chicago. So everyone's got different rules. Now, imagine that. So would you want to go play that game if you're Valparaiso or Indiana going into Chicago?
No.
Unless those things change. I don't know how these seasons are going to progress. It's going to be a bumpy road.
It is going to be a bumpy road, and I think that's the bottom line. And it's going to be, hopefully we'll have more highs and lows as we get to basketball season, but it's good to talk some hoops, though. That's the bottom line. It's good to talk some hoops in mid-October, isn't it?
Oh, it is. And, I already checked with a couple coaches about coming to watch practice, and, those campuses are closed. So, they're tightening up the ship, trying to keep everybody healthy and move forward. That's a big concern with these coaches, how to make sure that they don't have to quarantine their players. It doesn't spread throughout their teams.
No tropical island trips for Kevin this year.
Yeah. No land shark, Mark.
That's right.
I'm already going through withdrawals, dude.
Well, and as 3805 on the text line tells us, noticing video of basketball teams wearing masks when they are practicing. So, yeah, I think most teams are doing that I have seen so far, and I think we're going to see that all through the year. So we'll see.
What's interesting, on a side note, you know, Missouri State's got an open practice Saturday where fans are going to come in. They're going to let, like, 1,500 fans in. I thought that is strange in this environment that we're dealing with.
Yeah. All right, Kevin, look forward to talking with you throughout the basketball season, and great talking with you. Stay healthy, and we'll talk again soon.
All right. Mark and Scott, same to you guys. Stay healthy. Good talking with you.
Thanks, Kevin.
All right. Kevin Lehman, the coach, joining us on the Thursday edition of the Gym Class. UNI, an overwhelming choice to win the Missouri Valley Conference Championship this year. And 31st place votes to 13 for Loyola. And Bradley picked up one vote by the voters for the Missouri Valley. Quick break. Come back. Bowling Night in America wrap-up from last night. When we return. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. This is Derek's O'Reilly Auto Parts story.
After the third time jump-starting my car, I finally realized my battery was dying. So I stopped by O'Reilly to have it checked. They tested it right there in the parking lot. It was bad, real bad. But they helped me find the right battery for my car and even installed it for free. Now my car starts like new. Oh, 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 O'Reilly
Auto Parts. Where is your haircut gone? We know you don't get out as much. You don't drive by your regular sport clips and pop in for that MVP haircut experience that is so much more than a haircut. But isn't it worth getting out for? For that legendary hot steam towel for your face, massaging shampoo that makes you melt into your seat. Oh man, you remember that, right? We found your haircut. It's right where you left it. Sport clips. It's good to be a guy.
Election Day is November 3rd. If you plan to vote by mail, plan ahead at usps.com/voting info. There, you will find helpful resources, such as guidance for successfully using the mail, links to find your state's rules and deadlines, information for military and overseas voters, and more. The U.S. Postal Service is ready to deliver for you. Make sure you're ready, too. Start today at usps.com/voting info.
Ready to take on that painting project? Ask Sherwin-Williams and get 40% off paints and stains with sale prices starting at $23.09 October 16th through 19th. With 40% off our exceptional paints and stains, you can give some color love to your bathroom, living room, or every room in your home. Shop in-store or order online for curbside pickup. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym. We are back at 3:57 coming up tomorrow, the opening night of the high school football playoffs. We'll talk about that. We'll talk a little Iowa football with Jeff Johnson of the Gazette tomorrow as well. We need to talk a little bit about what happened on the lanes last night. It's a Bowling Night in America wrap-up. It is brought to you by the great folks at May City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the home of Bowling Night in America, which was met with mixed results last night.
Well, after a terrific week last week, the Rusty Nails back into a rut, losing 20-10 last night to Durline Scales, slipping back into last place.
Only one place to go.
Exactly. But Durline Scale administering the loss to us last night. And shout out to Chad Pettijohn with a 299 game. What did he leave?
I didn't see what he left.
Okay. Most likely a 10-pin, something like that.
But that's as close as you can come, Chad. You did a great job, and the man from Vinton.
high series, a guy who's not even in the league, subbing for Durline Scale of all teams, Chris Torner, 761, nice bowling.
Did a nice job.
Chris.
Yeah, he went like 26 out of his first 27 or something were strikes. So we like to think we brought out the best in him.
We usually do. If you have any questions about bowling availability, leagues, what have you, equipment, give Mace City Bowl a call, 362-0136, or go ahead and visit the website, MaceCityBowlCR.com, week 7 next week.
We go up against the Poobah next week.
Oh, Mike Hoskins team.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes, the grand, the man. The man, Mr. Hoskins, next week.
I thought he was the myth.
He is the legend. He is the legend. I'm going to hear about this next week.
Yes, you are.
But, yeah, stop on by. Give them a call out at May City, and they'll let you know exactly everything going on out there right now, or check them out online. We mentioned Jeff Johnson coming up tomorrow. We've got the Braves and the Dodgers coming up tonight for you. Major League Baseball divisional action. And stay tuned. Todd and Alex coming your way next right here on KGYM. Jeff Johnson joins us tomorrow on the Friday edition of the show. We'll talk to you again at 3.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City. This is...